As the noisy election campaign rumbles on Capitol Hill, Republicans and Democrats are eyeing one another, preparing for that lame duck session. David Hawkins, senior editor at Roll Call, is a student of the lame duck. He joins me now with how this year's version is likely to play out. And David, before we get to that, you've written a sort of a history of the lame duck, going back to the 1940s.
I did. It was pretty interesting. I had not realized, as somebody who has who's been covering Congress, I thought, for a long time, since the mid-1990s, it was really only then that the lame duck became a common species. In fact, we've had, when Congress comes back after this election, it'll be the 10th lame duck in a row. But before that, they'd only met maybe, I think it's 7 times between the mid-1990s all the way back to World War II. Back in those days, Congress was a more functional institution. They'd got more things done on time and on the regular schedule, and they didn't need to come back after the election. But as those of us who've lived in Washington since the 1990s know, it's become ever more dysfunctional, and the only way that Congress has been able to get the appropriations bills decided, or at least decided to be postponed, and do other routine business has been to come back in that special moment that is sort of the least political time in the entire 2-year calendar, right after the election, it's before the new Congress takes office.
It seems like nowadays each session is more determinative of the fate of the Western world, maybe, than even in the 40s and 50s. I'm being a little facetious, but it seems like the contention has that effect on members.
I think that's right, and I think, as I say, there are sometimes, that being the case, there are sometimes where these lame duck sessions have gotten very little done, even though members of Congress come all the way back, they end up doing nothing special. And there are some years where they do things that on which the economy hangs. It was 4 years ago, right after the last presidential election, people may remember the term the fiscal cliff, which was this incredible coincidence on New Year's Day 2013 of huge tax increases and spending cuts. Congress spun its wheels all year knowing that this cliff was coming, tried to apply the brakes to it, and didn't really stop short of the cliff until a couple of wheels of the car were over the edge, actually on New Year's Day 2013. That was a big deal. But most times they just they mop up routine, kind of routine business, and then they go home.
All right. So in this upcoming lame duck session, it starts when? November 14th, I believe.
November 14th, which is the Monday after the election. They're supposed to be back for a week then, and then the week after that is Thanksgiving week, and then they come back after Thanksgiving. And their calendar says they're going to be around until about December 16th. Whether they use all that time or not, I think, is up in the air. As many listeners know now, the continuing resolution that was passed right before Congress went home goes until December 9th, keeps the government running until December 9th. So that's their first real big deadline. I think it's one reasonable scenario would be that if the Republicans and Democrats cannot agree on a comprehensive set of spending bills or one giant omnibus bill by December 9th, they will pass a continuing resolution into the new year and go home. If they are close to getting a big deal on the on this omnibus appropriations bill in that first week of December, they might pass another 1-week CR to buy them more time. But it's possible that they'll just go home on, they'll give up and go home on December 9th. A lot will depend on the outcome of the election. If the Republicans, who are now in the majority in both chambers, take a whipping, they may play it one of two ways. The leadership might want to reach out to the Democrats and say, "Look, let's take the best deal we can get with you during the lame duck," and then admit that we've lost some power. Or they may just be recalcitrant and say, "We're not cutting a deal with you. We will punt the budget into next year and let you take ownership of it."
Yeah. So the outcome of the election really does have an effect on what could happen in the lame duck, especially if as speculation is running rampant right now, at least one chamber could change hands.
That's right. So I think we at Roll Call still believe that the House will remain in Republican hands, although with a narrower majority, in the 10 to 20 seat range. They will, the House, which the Republicans now have a 30 seat advantage, and that advantage will probably be cut by 10 to 15 to 20 seats at most, but they'll still retain control. Senate very much up for grabs. There are plenty of scenarios. That there are about six different combinations of election results that could result either in an outright Democratic Senate or a tied Senate, which would then, of course, make the presidential results important, because if Vice President Kaine is the vice president, then it would be a Democratic Senate, and if Mike Pence were to be the vice president, it would effectively be a Republican Senate. So, yes, if that comes close to happening, and if Hillary Clinton were to win the presidency, the Republicans, I think, would in Congress would be inclined to try and cut some deals, and then while they still had time.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. And also, an item in Roll Call this week talks about the resurgence of the Fast and Furious investigation. Switching gears here, that old thread is still being picked on by House Republicans. What are they trying to accomplish now?
That's right. That was actually my colleague Todd Ruger taking the time to go look at the court filings over at the federal courthouse. This was done without too much fanfare, that the House Republicans are trying to get the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, the appeals court, to reopen a litigation that Congress is in with the Justice Department about how much information in the Fast and Furious investigation should be turned over. I think, to be honest, this is more a balance of powers fight, where the House Republicans are just trying to assert their right to get what they want out of subpoenas from the administration. It doesn't seem as though they're trying to make a big deal of this in the public eye or trying to use this to make overt political points. At this point, this is sort of a more academic exercise, or at least an out of the headlines exercise, in which Congress is saying, we have the right to see this stuff. The Justice Department doesn't have the right to stiff arm us. And this is an important precedent going forward.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. As always, thanks so much for that update.
Thank you, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.